Bad Motivators.
Shit, yes.
What's up, guys? Welcome to episode 313 of the Bad Motivators. I, of course, am Eric Strothers. And with me, as always, is my excellent co-host, one Mr. Luke Cruiser.
Hey there. Welcome back, buddy.
Thanks, man. I'm super stoked to be back. So here we are again. Listen, last week's episode of Bad Harvest was really good.
Yeah. That's kind of bad on me for not putting that, making up the title.
I really, well, I don't know. Extremely on the internet was pretty good. Yeah, Hawes is great, man. That was probably one of the best Bad Motivators episodes in a long time, which I think should probably make me feel some kind of way, but it doesn't. I don't have any feelings. I really appreciate him filling in, though, man. Last week was bonks for me. So I had this gig. I was running sound for the little community theater here in town, and it was for a Frank Sinatra tribute. And when they told me, they're like, hey, we're going to have rehearsal on Monday. I'm like, oh, that sucks. Also on Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday.
Oh.
And I'm like, what now? Yo, yeah. 4 days of tech rehearsal for the show. And the show from stem to stern with the intermission was 2 hours long. But we had to have four nights rehearsal. But here's the deal. It was a Frank Sinatra tribute, a guy singing the tracks. I really like the guy. He's the creative director of the theater. He's been there for like 50 years.
Nice. Putting in the work.
Yeah, he's a good vocalist, and he's funny and engaging, and he did it sort of like a folk singer would, where he's telling stories about the songs in between and stuff. And it was cool, man. It was a good time. And the opening act was the guy from that a cappella group that I did sound for a ways back.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And, But one of the things that, like, having the tech rehearsals, I mean, there was dancers and there was the whole bit, and they were working out lighting cues and stuff. And you know what? Ultimately, it was fine. I did a really good job running sound. Of course. I try to be like part of the performance and be ready. So like when the singer is speaking and not singing, I lower the reverb on them seamlessly and then flip it back around, reverb on. And I will remember this song. It's a track. It's Fly Me to the Moon. And it starts to... And it's super quiet. The mix on some of these tracks was just all over the place, man. But anyway, I made it. I lived through it. It was 7 days of being at that theater, sitting in that uncomfortable chair at one of my least favorite mixing consoles of all time. I want to tell you right now that if I had never run sound before and somebody's like, hey, would you be interested in learning how to run sound? Here's the console. It's a Soundcraft SI Performer 2. I'd be like, well, I don't think running sound's for me. That's what I would say about this mixing board. It is not my favorite.
Not a good one, huh?
No. Yeah. It doesn't matter. Anybody who wants to nerd out about it, hit me up. We can complain about it to our heart's content. But how are you doing, my man?
Dude, I'm doing all right. We were talking about Valentine's Day before we started here. I for the first time, I've never done it before, but I made a cheesecake today for my wife for Valentine's Day.
Nice.
Did the whole thing. It wasn't like a no bake. Like I did the whole thing. Made it like blueberry swirls in it and shit.
Ooh.
Made a little heart on it. So like now it's in the fridge. And I gotta tell you, it weirds me out because you have to there's like several. You ever made a cheesecake before?
No, sir. I'm not a. I don't bake.
Yeah. No. I don't. I don't either. I just. That's part of the reason why I was having the delays that I was telling you about earlier. was because I was like last night. I was like, you know what? I'm like, what am I gonna do for Valentine's Day? I'll make her a cheesecake. Thinking that was like a quick like 1 hour, 2 hour thing I could get done during the day. It was like a 4-5 hour process. And for me, first time reading instructions over and over again, like going through the steps, I didn't miss anything, which I was doing it right. You have to like wrap it in this special cheesecake baking tin and then like put it in a water bath and all kinds of shit. Anyways.
Jeez. Yeah. I'm exhausted already just thinking about it.
But there's like three cooling stages of it. You have to like bake it for its time, and then you have to leave it in the oven and let it cool down with the oven door open for an hour, and then set it on the kitchen counter for an hour, let it come to room temperature, and then you got to put it in the fridge, open faced for like a day. It's weird because like I don't like things being uncovered in a fridge.
Yeah, I don't either, man.
Yeah, but like you literally have to, because if you don't, it'll get a whole bunch of moisture all over it if you cover it up. So yeah, it's pretty gross, but it was fun. It's one of those things where I thought, man, this is probably gonna go really bad because I've never done before. Like I've baked cookies like two or three times in my life, like chocolate chip cookies, you know, and that's about it. And I was like, I'm making a cheesecake.
But cool,
Matt. I made the crust and everything myself, so it was a pretty good day. Besides that, I've been freaking dismantling everything over and over and over again, which was what my whole weekend was me going through a bunch of shit and being like, you know what? Time to go. Later days, all this stuff is just taking up space. And we're about halfway through that process. It was a lot bigger process than I had anticipated.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been in a real, like, let's clean this place up sort of mentality too. And yeah. I got to make a move on it. More on that during who got what. But anything else happening? Anything else shaking, man?
No, I just released my next Patreon episode video about the latest, the Last of Us episode that came out on Friday early because of the Super Bowl.
It did. I didn't realize that. I haven't watched it yet.
Okay.
I didn't watch last week's until today. That's nice. How behind I've been. Well, I mean, you know, the rehearsal four nights in a row.
You literally work rehearsal every day, dude.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I came home with just enough time to eat and then leave and go to the theater.
Yeah.
And I had to miss the Sith list, too. It was a whole thing. Haas didn't fill in over there, though. I mean, they have 12 hosts. We have 12 hosts over there. So I think you don't really need
to fill in over there. No.
But, you know, since I brought it up, how about we just go ahead and do this little joint right here? Oh, yeah. Well, listen, I'm going to go first today on Who Got What. And the reason I'm going first is because I got some Star Wars related stuff for Switch. Okay. And so here's the deal. I finished that saber for our good friend Ed. And from the Scruffy Looking Podcasters, and got it off to him, and he really dug it. And one thing I realize is I'm much more efficient at this now. And I also got to thinking about a certain friend of ours who's not had one of the better years of his life last year. He's turning 40 this year.
Oh.
And I decided, you know what? If there's ever any SOB that needs a lightsaber for his birthday, it's this guy. Yeah. And the thing is, I thought about just trying to surprise him.
Yeah.
But then I'm like, nah, this is like a very expensive, very personal thing. I'm just going to tell him, here's what I'm doing. Just, all right, which one do you want? And we've got it pretty much narrowed down. He's a big Obi-Wan Kenobi saber fan. Mm. And so I hit up Corbanth where I like to buy my hilts. And he's like, you know, if you bought two of them, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, so I could make one and I could sell one. Yeah.
Otherwise, you are
throwing away money. So what I did was I got these Kenobi hilts. And this right here, the buttons are removed. But this is a weathered Obi-Wan Kenobi from
Very weathered.
A New Hope, right? Yeah. And it's pretty cool, man. Yeah. So I got this, right?
Uh-huh.
And I mean, it's all the way down to where it's even got Graflex stamped on the clamp. I don't know if you can see the letters.
Yeah, I can see it. That's cool, man.
Yeah. Yeah. This is probably one of the most accurate, screen accurate lightsaber hilts I've ever seen.
Wow.
It's really cool. I'm looking forward to building that. And by the way, everybody loves Haas, and I'll like put this out there and reach out, and please do not feel obligated for this. But if anybody wants to get in on this as a gift and to help me offset the several hundred dollars of costs on this, and listen, it'll be full transparency. Okay. I will give you a list of exactly everything that went in here and links to it to show you here's how much this costs. My labor is worth nothing. So don't worry about that. But here's the deal. The other one I got is not the episode for Hilt. It is called The Desert Wanderer, and the head of it is off right now. But this is from the Kenobi series. You notice the button configuration's different. Instead of being like these two silver buttons, and this is this is super screen accurate too. I have that the head of it right here, and this
so it's the same saber. It's just before and after.
It's this is very slightly different. So naturally, you know, it's like, oh, here's a TV show. Let's make this a little bit different, right? Which is that's what they did, and this is supposedly weathered. I think this is the one, but boy, it's very light if it is. I may have to hit him up and be like, listen, Randy, what the hell?
Excuse me, sir.
Yeah, but man, it's cool.
Yeah, but, man.
But yeah, I'm, like I said, I'm much better at, like, more efficient. Having a dedicated workspace really helps big time. Yeah. But yeah, dude, lightsaber stuff, pretty fun.
You were, back in your old place, you were kind of all jumbled up in there.
Oh,
plus,
dude,
you had all your collection in there, and you had all your guitars in there. Like, it was...
But I do think I'm going to build some more Graflex sabers, because I still got, like, four of the hilts sitting in boxes in there. So if anybody wants one, I know a guy who can make you one, and they're pretty great. Nice. Now, listen, I am going to tell you, if you buy a lightsaber, unless you, like, go all in on the 3D printed metal chassis on the inside that costs like $1,000 just for the chassis, don't get a crystal reveal. Because my buddy Josh Nelson and I have talked about it, and it's like, the crystal reveal's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But you'll open it maybe once the whole time you own it, maybe twice, maybe.
Yeah.
And you're like, boy, that added several dollars to the cost of making this. And I... Oh, here's the weathered one. Yeah, you can tell this one's weathered.
Yeah, that one, but yeah, the other one wasn't.
A little more. Yeah, this is the weathered one of these.
Yeah.
So anyhow, but yeah, man, if you want one, let me know. Hit me up. What are you going to do?
There it is.
Yep, there it is. Lightsabers. I've also got a Kylo Ren something sitting around here somewhere that's silver.
Huh.
Yeah, it wasn't powder coated, but... If you want an empty hilt, hit me up too. I'll get you.
You've had that one for a while, the Kylo Ren one, right?
Oh yeah, years.
Yeah.
Years and years.
I mean, you've had those Graflex ones for years too, though.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes, I have.
They're
cool.
They are cool, and plus you got a deal on them, so you were like, "Give me the deal. Give them up."
Yeah, I bought 10 of them. Listen, it's like, you know, it's like, hey. If I buy 10 of these, what kind of deal can we work out?
Yeah.
And he's like, listen, I got news for you. You're an idiot. He didn't tell me that. I told myself that.
Yeah. He's definitely thinking it, though.
And the guy who told me that wasn't wrong. It was me. But anyway, that, sir, is what I got.
That's quite a haul. A very unusual Star Wars haul for these days.
Yeah. What'd you get, man?
Like I said, dude, my stuff's boring. I've just been, I don't know if you could tell, obviously kind of, I've been moving around. I got a standy desk. See, back here I am over here.
Oh my gosh. Look at you.
Yeah. Well,
that's the most active I've seen you in a long time.
Right. I'm figuring, well, if I'm going to sit here, if I'm going to be down here, might as well, you know, stand my fat ass up a little bit. I got this. So now that naturally comes with the massive undertaking that is now my cable management situation, which is because now I have no back to just like cover up the wad of wires that were slowly growing behind my.
Yeah.
But it's been nice because that's making me like reevaluate things. It also came with more problems because I had to add some ceiling light stands for it's an arm actually for my key light here that I've been using. Mm-hmm. Otherwise I would never be able to get the right height to be able to stand and do this. So
yeah,
it would just, but that was partially bought. That was bought, and the other stuff I bought was purchased with all that money I returned for the Go XLR. So I've just been like, You know what I mean? Just recycling into things I actually needed.
I do. Like, I know exactly what you're saying.
Yeah. So, but I've still not spent the total amount that I paid for the Go XLRs. I'm still doing good. But it's been a whole bunch of like, you know, like taller light, taller stands for like my camera to be able to have an arm and all kinds. I got arms all over the place. Like all my lights are on the ceiling now. It's pretty cool.
That's cool. But
yeah, so I've just been trying, and I'm just trying to make this mobile, and I'm clearing out my space. So it's kind of like all over the place on the ground right here, right now. I'm just kind of reevaluating because we're talking about collecting things and how like, you know, you bought a whole bunch of stuff at once. And we talk about this ad nauseum already, right? But like when I started really going through stuff, when I just now, like this weekend, I realized that I could throw away boxes. But before, like I have all these empty boxes. Like I was just storing them. And I'm like, why am I doing this? I took the figures out. Like That's the whole point. Once you break that little tape seal and pry them out of their little prongs,
yep.
It's over. So
yeah.
So yeah. I got the figures I don't want to display in a box, and I'm getting rid of all those Black Series boxes I have opened, because it just taken up space that what I could use for other stuff that I'm actually using. And I'm just kind of just making some adjustments to what I actually want to be back here. Cause right now you see there used to be two stands there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting ready to move that one too and put something else there. So yeah, it's been a bit of process, but I mean, you were talking about, I don't want to get, you know, bore people with this, but like you were talking about your workspace upgrade since you moved to your new place.
Mm-hmm.
Is your dedicated like spot for your, you know, electrical work, is that out of your actual office? Is it like you have an actual workstation now?
Yeah. So through this wall, where the floor is concrete instead of carpeted like it is in here, is my old desk. And it's great. It's huge, big flat surface. And that's where I've got it set up. And what's nice is like with the concrete floor and those kinds of things, when it comes to soldering, I'm not nearly as concerned about like burning anything and, you know,
with anything.
Yeah. And there's no ceiling tiles in there. So it's like open air. So I'm not as concerned with like fumes from the soldering iron. And it's pretty great too. Cause like with the rafters right above me, I just used a, like a clamp work light.
Yeah.
With a flood lamp in it and hung it up right above me. And it's great. And one of the cool things I have is those little LED lamps that have like the slot in them, and they've got cut out acrylic pieces that are etched, and it makes it look like a hologram that my good friend Emily Lynn gave me years ago. And it's the R2-D2 sitting there lit up as I make lightsabers.
Nice.
And he's like, help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. You're my only hope. Princess Leia is sticking out there. Yeah. But dude, it's really handy. And, you know, who knows what I'll do out there besides build some lightsabers.
It's tinkering out there, man. Yeah. No, it's going good over here, man. I'm making some strides. I'm doing a job tomorrow. Excited for that. So
nice.
Yeah. Making some actual money. It'd be great.
Yeah, dude, I got a Mardi Gras gig this weekend that's already like more the time investment for it. It's like, is that worth it? I'm not so sure that's worth it. But
that's one of the conversations we have a lot, you and I personally, you know, outside of this, is about what managing your, you know, valuing your time versus what you get for, you know, using your time for this a thing. And
well, this place wanted to contract me to, the theater did, to come in and do like a week of tech rehearsals and then two weekends of shows in a row with the entire week in between the weekends filled. So essentially a 2 week and some change commitment. And I said, I can't do it.
Yeah.
Because if I were to do it, I would have to charge you a huge sum of money that you can't afford. And no, it's not because I've got some other gig on the side. It's because that's what it would take for me to not go spend time with my wife and kids.
Yeah.
You know, that's point, just what point it blank. Is. Because listen, man, they are growing up so fast, and it's just in a blink of an eye. Stella and I were working on the bedtime stories, right? Yeah. And we're going to stop on 156, and we recorded the 154th the other day. And so
you sad, huh?
Yeah. But what's funny is because I'm thinking about what am I going to do for her last one? I'm going to talk about like the whole reason we started doing them. And it was 3 years ago. She was seven and a good reader already. And I went back and watched the very first video we made. And she's so young and so cute. And dude, that has gone by. That in my head, if I had to think how long ago was that? It was about 6 months ago. It was 3 years. And when it comes to like enjoying the things we enjoy that we talk about on this show, like Star Wars movies and any movies in general and cool TV and video games and all that stuff, man, it gets swallowed up fast.
Yeah.
And like from a dad motivator's perspective, you don't want to miss out on that.
Yeah. For sure. I mean, I was thinking today, like next month will be 3 years we've been living through this COVID time. Mm-hmm. And like, we think about how much we like that's when she started doing that thing on, but pretty much. Right. So like, I mean, she was, you know, it's crazy to think how much younger our kids were at the beginning of it to how they are now. I mean, 3 years isn't that great of a time for us, but for them, that's such a growth period. Like they became completely different people.
Well, I mean, here's how I always put it, right? If I gained 20 pounds, right?
Yeah.
Which I have, probably. But that was, you know, while it's a decent amount of weight, it's still only 8% of my total body weight, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But if it was like Amanda... Or God, one of my kids, you know, that's 40% of their body weight kind of thing. And that's the same thing for them. 3 years for Stella, 3 years is 1/3 of her life.
Yeah.
And that's crazy. Just crazy, man. It's crazy. But anyhow.
Yeah.
But anyhow.
We do go on.
Yeah. Speaking of kids, man.
Yeah.
The Bad Batch.
Yeah.
Has a kid in it.
It does.
And probably
the best kid in Star Wars.
Yeah. I just wish she would one time go, "It's working. It's working." Or say wizard or something. But
yes, something.
We hit the mid-season mark and it was a double episode. Mm-hmm. And what's cool about this is, you know, obviously this is an offshoot of the Clone Wars. And it's the same animation style as a Clone Wars, just improved with time as things do improve. And we see like Senator Chuchi coming back, and they talk about something that's pretty interesting. And that is, what are we doing with the clones that fought for us now that it's all over? But in the meantime, there's this whole other thing going on where Butthole Magoo, who killed the clone at the very beginning. It's just a whole thing.
Yeah.
And they're trying to basically decommission the clones and start up the Stormtrooper program. And it's pretty neat. You're
in March already.
Yes. It's pretty neat that they've decided to do this thing. And in the first of the two episodes, it was almost like it was the Book of Boba Fett all over again. The Bad Batch wasn't in it at all.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was cool because it really set the tone, and you've got all these clones, and a couple of them were there for the whole thing where Rampart destroyed Kamino when they blew up Topoka City. And anyway, the whole thing revolves around, they're trying to figure out how to get this information out. And there's an assassin who turns out to be, we find out later, a clone whose number has been erased. From like their biological stamp that has their identifier on it. And he's killing these clones to keep them from telling like the powers that be what's going on. And just the way the whole thing plays out, the intrigue of it, the actual storytelling is quite good.
Yeah.
Really good. And so then in the second half, the Bad Batch shows up and it's time to go in and put a stop to this. Let's infiltrate this ship. We'll get the battle logs from the the ship's control center, right?
I was gonna say data center, but yeah, control center makes sense.
Because that's going to show what happened. In the meanwhile, Chuchi's in the Senate, saying, look, we tell you he did this. And they're like, well, without proof, what do you want us to do? And it's like this race against time for them to get the information to her before this, the Senate can, it closes off this session. Right. And, dude, it was wild stuff. It's a really cool heist. If you guys haven't watched it, definitely go back and watch it. There's some cool elements. Well, here's something that's funny though. I heard Hawes talking about the same thing, is that Bail Organa is in it, and it's the same voice actor who's done him before, but he sounds more ethnic, I guess, is the way I would put it.
Maybe. I feel like he always had an accent, but maybe.
It's pretty strong.
You know, what do you think he's trying to be more Smitsy?
I don't know, man. So Hawes said that Rick Villanueva had said that they tried to make him extra spicy.
Extra spicy.
But yeah, he sounds different to the point that even Henry said, I thought that was supposed to be Bail Organa. Who is it? I'm like, it's Bail Organa. It just, you know, he just sounded different to Henry too.
2.0.
Yeah. But it was cool, man. It was cool. And they, you know, they get there in time and the whole bit. And you're starting to see where the clones are really starting to question whether Order 66 was the way to go.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, man. It's just interesting. You got these. Cool seeing Rex come back. There was a real kind of tear-jerky moment that I didn't necessarily see coming. I knew something was going to happen with Echo, but I didn't know that he was going to leave with Rex. But, you know, it was cool the way they handled it and all that. And,
well, I mean, you can't hang on to Alm forever. And he was always kind of the outlier in the group. Even though he was a great contributor, he's just, you know.
Well, they had a thing, man, where, you know, in the last episode we had Omega. They meet Gunji, the Wookiee Jedi.
Yeah.
And he's teaching her how to meditate. And at the beginning, she's meditating.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, yeah, I mean, I like it, but I don't think I'm getting, it's different for me than it is for him. And I keep thinking, I swear, if they make her force sensitive, I'm going to be so annoyed. I don't know. It's just not something they need to do, in my personal opinion. Where do you sit with that?
I hope they don't. I kind of like her being, you know, just like her brothers, you know, but in her own unique way. I mean, the fact that, you know, I just feel like that's the better route. But then again, it's always those things that, like, we say we want, we say we, you know, this matters. But then if it happened, we'd be like, and she did something cool. You're like, oh, okay. You kind of, you know,
right,
you might just let it go. Like, this is, the kids will love this kind of thing, you know? But they really stretching out the whole Jedi were all hunted down and exterminated, you know, it's over and over and over again. They keep just like, you know, you could always say, well, that was an imperial cover up. You know, they don't want people to believe that these evil Jedi are still out there.
Right.
And, but I don't know. There's a lot of, you know, holes you could poke in all of this, but that it ultimately, I hope it's not the case, but in a way it would be kind of cool if one of the clones turned out to be the thing they were, you know, programmed to destroy. So it could be kind of cool from that respect, but I hope they just keep her as she is, you know.
I do too. I really do. But I'm excited to see where this goes.
Yeah.
One thing that was cool though, I will say this, is Palpatine showing up.
Mm-hmm.
That was rad and kind of unexpected. And it was cool the way he instantly, like, the guy, the way they write him is really good because he's the mastermind. There he's like,
nah.
Yeah. Commander Rampart did this on his own. And it, what's messed up to me is the reason, the whole reason they need to get rid of the clones is because they were there and followed orders and went ahead and helped destroy Topoka City instead of saying no, even though it was the whole reason you wanted them is so they'd follow orders. I'm like, but anyhow.
It's weird to me that they are such in a rush to get standard recruits. You know what I mean? Like stormtroopers, because you're like, oh, well, we can train them in our system and they can, you know, they can help, they'll follow us on it, you know? But I'm like, I don't think anybody's going to follow you immediately more so than the clones. Like they were literally made right. to follow the Republic, now the Senate's orders. So like,
well, I think one of the things is that, you know, Palpatine ultimately wants to disband the Senate.
Yeah.
You know, there's that. But also the real push for these stormtroopers is coming, like a big part of it's from Rampart. And that's the whole reason they blew up Kamino, was so that there wouldn't be any more clones. And they're like, listen, these clones, man, they're accelerated aging. In 5 years, we got nothing. You know, so we need to figure this out big time. But
it just seems weird that they wouldn't have like said, okay, we need to have an accelerant, but then a decline. And the acceleration, figure it out.
Yeah, figure it out, Camino. Scientists.
I'm just the idea man. You make it happen. That's how.
Yeah,
it works.
Listen, I'm just exactly. I'm the visionary.
Yeah,
you're doing all the grunt work, but
or we'll kill you.
Yeah, that's really where we're at. That's how. Yeah. That's those are your choices.
Make this it's impossible thing happen or die. That's how it works.
So while we're talking about Star Wars animation, okay, we find out that Visions Volume 2 is going to drop May 4th. So that's neat.
Yeah, that's cool.
And I'm not sure.
Go ahead.
I'm not sure what to expect from some of the studios, but I think the overall vibe of the entire block of shorts will be different in comparison. You know, not nearly as anime centric. But
well, aren't they doing some American studios this time too?
Yeah. It's and I mean, I think that's cool.
I'm interested to see what actually happens. I love all the anime stylings. That's very cool. I'm glad they did that. And I would have been fine if they continued down that path. But I wonder what kind of wacky stuff that other. Because I think Star Wars fits really well with anime. Like, you can make it fit really well, you know, the whole idea of the samurai and whatnot. But, like, it'd be interesting to see what somebody who doesn't have that culture comes up with, you know.
Right.
Because, and they're not making it Clone Wars style animation or the other stuff. Like, what will they, what kind of styles will they come up with? That's interesting to think about. But I don't know. I've not looked in much into it because while I like the last set, it wasn't something that I clung to. You know?
Yeah, I didn't go back and rewatch them several times. I rewatched them all once, I think, and a couple extra times. And that was it.
But, yeah. Well, we did kind of a recap after like a few weeks after it was all over. And we kind of we might not finished it, but we started like going like backwards. To the beginning. Remember that?
That's what we did. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if we finished that or not, but we started it.
I don't know, man. What's funny is it didn't matter enough for anybody to reach out and go, hey, I don't think you finished that.
Are you going to finish that thing?
Yeah. Wait,
I think they gave up asking us to like follow through with.
They're like, well, we hate wasting our breath. And I'm like, I understand.
That's fair, because that's what it would be. Yeah. You're right.
So continuing on, Star Wars TV. In an interview with the Virtual Cantina, Emily Swallow, who played the armorer, and then the dude who played Paz Vizsla.
Yeah.
Both said that Rick Famuyiwa was... He directed the first and last episodes of Mando season 3.
Nice.
So that's cool. That dude's rad.
And I think Bryce Dallas Howard is directing one, right?
Yes, at least one.
Maybe two. Yeah, no, I think a lot of the directors are returning. They got some new ones too. I don't remember the exact list anymore. I'm just excited to see the show.
Yeah, like, me too, man.
Like I have a certain standard I expect to see from it. So, but now that they're doing all this Mandalore, like the actual Mandalore stuff, like, mm-hmm. That's coming out in a couple of weeks, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Very soon.
Yeah. So like that, we're talking like we'll have like two episodes, I think, of The Last of Us left when The Mandalorian premieres, I think.
That feels right.
Because there's 9 episodes of The Last of Us. So, by the way, I'm glad you've been enjoying that too.
I love that show, man. Oh, Amanda watched it. I got her to watch the first 3 episodes, man, and she's into it.
Yeah.
So she wants to get caught up and...
Yeah, we really, we'll wait on that for a second. Let's finish the Star Wars thing. But like, are you, like, see, we have The Mandalorian coming out this year and Ahsoka, right? That later on in the year, I believe.
I think that's slated for this year and Skeleton Crew.
Yeah.
And,
The Skeleton Crew is, that's a movie though, right?
No.
Is that the Jude Law thing?
Yeah.
Oh, for some reason I thought that was a movie. I think it was the Jude Law of it all. You know what I mean?
Yes.
You just expect it to be a movie.
Right.
But yeah, you're right. You're right. That is a TV series. Yeah, you're right. Oh my God.
Yeah. So while we're talking about the Book of Boba Fett, right?
Uh-huh.
Ludvig Göransson is not gonna be doing the score for season 3 of The Mandalorian.
Interesting.
Yeah. And so like in Book of Boba Fett, he did the opening, the main theme, the that we found out on Blue Harvest was taken from a TV show.
Really?
Yeah, from I can't remember the name of it, but there's a really cool episode that Intercontinental Tom had sent in a voicemail about it, and it's from I can't remember what country's TV show. It was sounded very similar, you know.
Did he get in trouble for it or something?
No. It was just, you know, he was obviously super influenced by it.
Yeah.
Because it was something he would have heard growing up, that kind of thing.
I see.
In his native land. Gotcha. But anyway, he just did the opening theme. And so that's what's going on with The Mandalorian is they'll have the same theme.
Okay.
But it's the guts of it will be the guy who did the Book of Boba Fett or the person who did the Book of Boba Fett.
They got so much to dig from what he made in those first 2 years. I mean, almost every one of those characters we see has their own like theme or own little music cue. So,
right.
Yeah. It's basically all laid out and they just got to not detract too much from that because the music is a big part of, Mandalorian. But speaking of music, really fast, I meant to say earlier talking about Bad Batch. How about the ominous synth the entire time?
Oh yeah, yeah.
I feel very depressed this entire episode.
I felt like they left something laying on one of the low keys on a keyboard. It's like pick that book up.
Like you know, sometimes silence is okay.
Yeah. It was very fitting, though.
No, it definitely worked. But I was like, I just feel like I'm just being like followed by the boogeyman.
But So,
Mandalorian music is very important. I want to say that it's very important, and I hope they don't detract too much. But I have a feeling that because they kind of went out there a few times with Book of Boba Fett. They kind of took some chances. I felt like a couple times. Mm-hmm. Like they did a couple different takes because I think we all expected it to be sound to go right or wrong with along with the theme the whole time, but it most certainly did not.
There's lots of
changes and whatnot. So
now to me, it did feel like it was written by the same person. Like I, from a musical standpoint,
but
stylistically, it made me think of, this is all the same composer, but there was a lot of difference to it. And I thought it was cool to hear electric guitars and all that stuff, man. Yeah, it's really good. But I thought they wouldn't change it in Mandalorian, though, would they?
They wouldn't change it that much, do you think? Do you?
What's that?
They wouldn't change it in Mandalorian that much, do you think?
Inside in the Mandalorian?
Yeah, like if that guy's coming over from Book of Boba Fett to take over for him, you don't think they would make too many major changes like that?
I wouldn't think so. But I mean, you know, in the Mandalorian, when you hear Ludwig Göransson, if you go to and look up like the soundtracks of the show, which you can find them on Spotify.
Yeah.
Even in his thing, there's a wide breadth of here is what I do. You know what I mean? And then when you take a Book of Boba Fett, it was a similar deal too, where it wasn't like, okay, you've got the theme and then all this other stuff and all the other stuff sounds exactly the same. I think stylistically, both of them took a ton of chances and like kind of opened it up wide. And I'm glad Star Wars let both of them do that. So I don't think that they're going to drift from the overall tone of the show too much because, I mean, it's part of the formula that makes it work.
Yeah.
Okay. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Kind of like, I'm watching Lost still. I'm at the very end of season 4. I've got one episode to go.
Oh, you got through 3, huh?
Yeah. Uh-huh. And it was Michael Giacchino doing the score of it. It's there's like a feel and a vibe to the show that they really kept up. So I'm enjoying it, man. Season 3 had some pretty stupid stuff in it, but I'm just glad I didn't skip any episodes,
I mean, how many episodes was Sawyer and Kate in that jail?
Ugh.
Had to be at least 3, right? At least 3 or 4. It
felt like an eternity, man.
Yeah, just in there just like heavy flirting
the
whole time.
And then finally
I hate you, but I want to bang you. I hate you.
Yeah, here, look at my boobs. They're great. Yeah. Those are great.
Good. Yeah, this is good stuff, but I hate you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't even get me started on that whole thing. But anyway, So, well, let's talk about, since we're talking about TV, man, let's talk about The Last of Us. Now, look, I have not watched episode 5.
Okay.
First of all, I didn't realize it came out early. But second of all, I would not have had the chance to watch it regardless of when it came out. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I got to tell you, man, I'm super in love with the show.
Yeah.
I didn't even watch the 4th episode until today.
Yeah.
And I dig it very, very much. I like the way the characters are developing. I like the landscape and the settings and the actors. And Pedro Pascal is just amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, man. I'm super keen on it. I love how just real everything looks and how desolate and, they roll into Kansas City and honestly, it looks like what Kansas City really looks like. I'm kidding.
Especially after last night.
Mostly. Ugh. Yeah. But good on them. Hooray, Chiefs.
Yeah. I keep forgetting that's, I mean, you're technically in Illinois, but you know, you're right next to Missouri.
Yeah. I mean, I could hit it with a rock from here.
Yeah. Yeah. But for some reason, and maybe it's just a name, but I just never think about the Chiefs being in Missouri. I don't know why.
It is weird.
Yeah.
And it's funny too, because for people who don't know, here's a geography lesson for you. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Well, there's a Kansas City, Kansas.
Uh huh.
And there's a Kansas City, Missouri. Mm. Right. The Chiefs play in Kansas City, Missouri. Do you know where Kansas City, Kansas is? Right across the river. It's one town. Why? It's so confusing, man. It's like even for everybody who hated President Trump, you couldn't blame him for getting that wrong. I mean, good Lord, they touch.
Yeah, that's such a bizarre thing. Like, why would they? Because, I mean, When did that happen? It had to be after when the states were formed, right?
I don't know, man.
That's bizarre.
I feel like
unless Kansas City was actually like a part of that territory or something, and that made the name Kansas, but they split around the river. I have no idea.
I don't know.
I need to look into the history of that. That'd be interesting. Why that is the thing. And I say interesting, but I only to me.
Yeah, and I say I ought to look into it, but I never will. I'll just make it up in my head how it is.
Yeah. But I mean, I'm just really matter in the end anyways.
Yeah.
I mean, if that's anything, what the world is telling us today, you can just say whatever you want. If you say it enough, dummies will start believing you.
It becomes true. Yeah. Yep. That's exactly it.
I'm sorry.
So, hey, The Last of Us. Hot dang on that
show. Hot dog, hot diggity dog.
Yeah.
I have been really enjoying going through like the videos I've been making on it, like just going through and talking about like little parts and, you know, give my chance to make my stupid wise cracks that nobody asked for and things like that. It's been really fun. But like just having to go back through them, you know, and pause and rewind and go back and look at things. And it's been pretty cool seeing all the little tiny details of things. You know, like I know this isn't episode 4, but there's something about episode 2, which we talked about quite a bit, where when the microbiologist first discovers that that fungus is inside of a human, mm-hmm. It's such a like, for one, that lady acted the complete shit out of that scene.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
But two, like the way she expressed the entire time from the moment she got in the car to the moment she got to the microscope and asked, why is this prepared this way? This is mm-hmm. this is not how we look at this. Like it is if you are with humans. And she's like, say fucking what? just
what you talking about, Willis?
And then when she cuts into that wound and sees it in there, she's just like, we're all gonna die, and pulls it out of her throat and all the other shit. It was just like bomb. So she said bomb. Bomb me and everybody. We were talking about it, but it's so visceral. And like, but I went back and watched it again, and I actually was doing some stuff where I was putting in black and white, and it made it like really super dramatic. It was really cool. But but episode 4, that was when they got to Kansas City, and like the whole shootout thing in the washing area, the old laundromat, right? Mm-hmm. And Ellie having to reveal that she had a gun by killing somebody who was about to kill Joel was quite a moment, you know. But I'm trying to figure out how this version of Ellie, because she is slightly different than the game, like in tiny ways, but like she seems to look at death a little more inquisitive than mm-hmm. like, oh, what the fuck did I do? Like, it's kind of like she's so weirded out by the world and what's happened in her past and whatever else that, like, you know, like when she stabbed that one zombie in the head was stuck in the wall. She just like mm-hmm. slowly is looking at it and cutting it and shit and then doing it. Mm-hmm. It's like, I really want to know, like, are they just showcasing a young child or a young person, like coming to terms with the world having, you know, always been stuck on the inside, you know?
Yeah.
It's weird how, because I mean, you got to think, if you were a kid and you had a gun, you had a knife out there in this dystopian world, like, I'd be poking and stabbing shit all the time. I'd be like, what the hell is this?
I like the way they did that scene. And I thought the kid who, I can't even remember his name now. I just watched it too. Golly. Because they were yelling his name that she shot in the back and it severed his spine. And he's,
the way
he was panicking and freaking out. And, you know, my legs don't work and I don't know what to do. And he's crying and, listen, yeah. I'm sorry, we can be friends and all this stuff. And that guy played that really well.
Oh, yeah.
And Joel saying, go behind that wall because you know he's going to kill this kid. He needs to, for one, put him out of his misery. Yeah. But he stabs him in the chest. That's woof, man. Because you know you had to look him right in the eye and do it.
Yeah.
But I thought it was wild that in that whole scene, you've got these people that attack them. Mm-hmm. And he ends up shooting them and they're cussing him. How dare you? Even though they've been shooting at him for the last 4 minutes.
What are you doing, you son of a bitch?
You just did it to yourself. No.
You and came then, in here.
And then they're all dead. Yeah. But, dude, he just, Pedro Pascal.
They messed with the wrong one. That's what they did. Yeah. That's the wrong one to mess with.
Yeah. I saw a thing. Somebody had made some joke about how experts predict by the year 2050, all TV shows will be Pedro Pascal escorting some magic child to safety. It's like, okay,
that's a pretty good one.
Clap.
But he does it so well. That's the problem. Yeah. He does. He's way too good at his job and making all of us fall for him constantly.
Yeah. And when he talks about how he's 56, you know, and his knees hurt and they climbed the 30 flights of, and it's like, oh, I feel that.
I think Pedro is actually probably in real life. I think he's closer to your age, I think.
Yeah. Which is 156.
Yeah. 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 So he's much older than he is in The Last of Us. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
IMDb that, man. See how old he is.
I'm looking it up. But yeah, he's such a good looking dude. Like I wonder, like when in the beginning when he was young, you know, 20 years younger, do you think they just colored his hair and his beard? They're just like, yeah, you're good. Or did they de-age him?
We're buying it. Yeah.
Yeah. He's 47.
Yeah. Good for him. Good for him. But yeah.
Yeah.
I'm really digging it, man. I dig it. I think all the acting's top shelf in it.
But, yeah, I'll be interested to hear what you think about episode 5.
I'm not gonna say
anything about it, but I'm just curious what you think about it.
I wanted to watch it right now, but
but we're doing this dumb thing.
Yeah, I got too much going on. So I guess last night you touched on the fact that the Chiefs won the Super Bowl. I didn't watch any of it. I didn't watch any of the commercials. I didn't do any of it. But apparently there were a couple of pretty big trailers that dropped.
Yeah.
One being The Flash and one being Guardians of the Galaxy. Mm-hmm. And what we're going to do right now is we're going to watch the trailer for The Flash. All right. Mm. And listen, I'm just going to tell you, I'm not a big DC guy.
Yeah.
Like at all. And, but you know what? I'll watch this trailer.
Yeah.
And if you want to watch it with us, that's fine. If you don't, I understand that too. But just so that Cruiser and I can watch it at the same time, I'm going to count it in. We're going to hit play.
Okay.
And we're going to go. Are you ready?
Yep.
Here we go. One. And so it's going to be 1, 2, 3 play.
Okay.
Okay. 1, 2, 3 play.
Tell me something. You can go anywhere.
Huh. Huh.
Another timeline.
Another timeline, you say?
Where have I heard this before? So
why do you want to
and fight to save this one? Because this is the world where my mom lives.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lose her.
Huh. Very.
Ugh.
Wanda-esque.
So.
Can't help reliving.
Huh.
Different people, different worlds.
Yeah.
Drawn to each other like magnets.
It's getting out of hand.
Oh.
My face. Stole my face.
So, okay.
If you were to go into the.
Well, hang on. I'll shut up for a second.
I have no idea what the consequences can be. Bruce, I can fix things. You could also
freaking Affleck.
Everything. Yep.
I didn't know he was coming back in this one.
I completely broke.
I thought he was Dunzo.
Sorry. We've been
now we got the bad guy from Man of Steel. So he's clearly screwing stuff up. This is very much a Spider-Man movie.
Yeah.
Now there's no one to defend us. Want some help?
Then, of course.
Oh, look at those points, man.
You are.
Yeah. I'm Batman.
Ah, there it is. Ah.
Freaking 70-year-old Michael Keaton still getting it.
Dude, he rules so hard.
If I can't undo what I did, if I can't get back.
Man, I can't wait to see Ant-Man either.
There might not be a future.
What's the play? Batman, what do we do?
We try not to die.
Who's that?
Supergirl.
It's not Clark.
My name is Kara.
I'm Barry.
We're Barry.
Barry, what are you doing?
Our kids are gonna wanna see this.
Huh, neat. Neato Benito.
Yeah.
Well, what do you know? Isn't that something?
Yeah, it was, again, we're kind of, you know, I'm not to get too far into the weeds on this, but it was just, it's kind of interesting seeing people like literally on Twitter tripping over themselves and being like, literally admitting to how conflicted they feel because of all the shit Ezra Miller did over the last couple of years and whatever, and being like, but I really liked it. I'm like, oh, so now.
Yeah.
It's weird how that works sometimes.
And that is interesting.
Yeah.
Because, it's for, there's many a conversation that can be had surrounding this. But for the amount of, outrage that people like to get in over certain things that you need to not consume this media. Mm-hmm. What are people going to do with this? Because I suspect that it's going to do quite well.
Yes, it will.
And, you could make the argument, Ezra Miller, but Keaton and Affleck and all that stuff. Yeah, but, you could make that same argument for several other things.
Yeah.
But here's the deal. Am I going to go to the theater to see this? No. There's virtually no chance. And not because I don't think it looks good. I think it looks amazing. It's just, I'm not going to go to the theater to see it.
I actually think Max might like to see it. He's kind of been liking some of the, I would say like the, like he really like it. It didn't get good reviews and a lot of people were shitting on it, but he really liked Black Adam.
Uh-huh.
He watched on our HBO subscription. Well, we watched it several times. He really likes it. But there's other stuff he likes too. But I just think he kind of likes the atmosphere of Black Adam, like how it kind of has like slightly dark edges to it. I think he just kind of digs it.
Uh-huh.
So, but this has got a kind of vibe too. So he might like it. I'll see if he says anything about it if he sees like an ad for it or something. But other than that, I'm not in a rush to go see it. I would love to see Keaton again, but I'm also weirded out by it a little bit. It's kind of like. Like, I love Michael Keaton, and I think he would do great. But just seeing him in the suit was kind of like, I wonder how much CGI we got going on here sometimes. So,
none, man.
None at all. Just as all him, huh?
That's just what he looks like.
He's 71.
Amanda would like to see that because, she's a huge Keaton Batman fan.
Yeah.
But because that movie came out like right at the sweet spot for her. Those movies did. And so, a movie that I'll definitely go see in the theater because Amanda will demand it.
Yes.
Is the other trailer that we are going to talk about now. And that is Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3.
Yeah.
And it's filmed for IMAX.
Yeah.
So we're going to watch this one too, man. I haven't seen it. So we're going to do the same thing. We're going to count us in. 1, 2, 3, play. And we're going to go. So are you ready?
Yep.
1, 2, 3, play.
I'm going to tell you something.
Oh, yeah.
I'm
tell me.
Star-Lord.
Tell me more, tell me more.
Oh, dude, this song, Since You've Been Gone by Rainbow.
That girl died. But then
does it make you mad?
I love this song.
Oh. Total dick.
Oh, please. He left out some important information, but that is the gist of it.
Oh, my gosh, dude.
Disney's so mad every day that James Gunn's not making any more movies for him. So mad.
The perfect society.
He didn't want to make things perfect. He just hated things.
I wonder how many different versions of that Hawes is going to own.
That's a cool take on the song for the trailer.
You all to know that I'm grateful to fight beside my friends.
That lead singer kind of sounds like Paul Stanley a little bit at times.
A little bit. It's a Graham Bonnet.
Bringing in otters and shit.
We were always searching for a family until we found each other.
Yeah, man. It looks so good.
For one last ride. Fly away together. Into the forever. And beautiful sky.
Was she carrying Quill?
I missed it.
Whoever it was that you were in love with, it sounds more like her.
Her? That's ridiculous.
Do not bring me into this.
Knock it off!
What?
Never noticed how black your eyes were.
They were replaced by my father as a method of torture.
He picked a pretty set.
God. Oh my God. Yeah. Hang on, let me go back and look. So in the scene where they're all walking through, that's she's carrying him. Interesting. Interesting.
Oh, yeah. She's carrying him.
Yeah. So who do you think's going to die in this one?
My suspicion would be Drax, because he says he's not going to do anymore.
Right. You know, that's something I want to talk about here in a second. We'll get to that. But he says he's not going to do it anymore because hang on. No, I want to hit something else first. I'm concerned that it'll be Rocket.
I am too.
But maybe I'm wrong. But since you've been gone. No. By the way, if you've never heard Since You've Been Gone by Rainbow, you need to go listen to it. It's a freaking great song. And that's when Graham Bonnet was the lead singer. And it's there's a line that says, a scarlet letter, a telegram, boom, 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 makes me think you just don't give a damn since you've been gone. And it's the most poppy chorus, and it's got the whoa, 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 bum, 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 since you've been gone. It's got a real cool note in there during like the outro section of it. It's really cool.
So did Kelly Clarkson rip it off?
Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe, you know,
since you've been gone. Yeah. Maybe. Dude, that song's a banger, though, too. It's I can't deny the excellence.
She has a lot of power in that song.
Yeah. Yeah.
Speaking of powers, like, and I'm always like, there's bands been around for, been, you know, classic bands forever, like Queen and shit like that, like notoriously amazing for their vocal harmonies and stuff like that and the shit they do. But I was listening to like the harmonies and shit they do on Don't Stop Me Now, like always just like get to me. Cause it's so perfect the way they do it.
Yeah.
And like, and when they go the whoa, 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 explode and they all like, it's crazy how they all have that much talent. It's crazy.
Dude, good vocal harmonies or something, man. That was one of the things that made Throw the Horns so good.
Yeah, you guys are really good at it too, man.
Yeah, that was our big thing. When people would hear us do Peace of Mind by Boston, they would freak out like, because of our harmony stack, man.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. Blah, blah, so blah. You're super pumped for this one, I imagine.
I am. I am. Yeah. I love Guardians. I know that a lot of people don't care much for Chris Pratt. I happen to like him quite a bit. Mm-hmm. And does that mean I agree with everything he thinks? No. But I don't agree with everything anybody thinks.
Nope.
So there you go. But but yeah, it's I like the premise. I like the characters. I like the way the soundtrack drives the movie, the way the classic rock songs. Mm. Now, one thing so if you recall, for Guardians 2, heavily featured in the trailer was Fox on the Run. Not featured in the movie at all was Fox on the Run.
It was on the soundtrack.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It, that was a fave of ours listening to
it. I'm guessing James Gunn didn't answer your emails about that.
No, he did, politely declined.
Typical.
Yeah. The name of that band, by the way, it's much contested with the name of the band that did Fox on the Run.
Okay.
And people always say that's by the band Sweet. Mm-hmm. No, the name of the band is The Sweet. The Sweet. Yeah, The Sweet. But oh my gosh, dude, we that was a song Throw the Horns did. We did great at it, and nobody cared. We did all the harmonies, like the where it stops and does this like A major chord, but the last note is it's real high. Oh, dude, those were the days. Anyway, it used to be cool for everybody. Just wants the brief synopsis of everything we're talking.
No, you were definitely you're definitely a cool dude, and I think you're an even cooler dude for instead of continuing to do that, you decided to spend more time with your kids. So I think that's a pretty good trade off, my man.
Yeah, I'm pretty happy with it, man. I do love it. So yeah, those are two cool movies. And like I said, we'll definitely be going to see Guardians in the theater. Amanda won't stand for anything less, which I get it, man. I wouldn't either. If that's, I'd be like me saying, no, I'm just going to wait for the Star Wars movie to come out on Disney Plus. Yeah. No buys. I mean, I think that we'll go see it the day it comes out, but we'll go see it in a premium format theater too. Yeah. And we'll probably go. I would love to go see it in the IMAX box at Edwardsville, where we went and saw The Last Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, maybe I'll see it in the Dolby Theater, which has the big, giant reclining seats, but still amazing sounds and the whole bit. So we'll see.
I mean, that theater we went to was pretty damn nice. Mm-hmm. Not gonna lie.
I love it. You know, here the thing is, though, now, like, prying me out of the house to go to the movies is not... Ugh, no thanks. I was always one of those people who didn't go to the movies much anyway. Yeah. But, you know, COVID was just sort of like the perfect excuse to never go again.
Well, I mean, at certain times you'd be going a lot, just depending on what was going on.
Yeah, if it was a new Star Wars movie. But anyhow, that's, you know, that's a story for another day. So now this is time for the video game power hour. I don't think we missed anything.
I'm curious though. Did you ever see that new Adam Driver movie coming out? The trailer for it.
Oh yeah, man, 65. Yeah, oh yeah. I want to see that. I don't know that I'll go to the theater to see it, but I remember when the trailer first came out, and it's like the premise. It's like
so awesome.
No way. And then it happens. And it's like a lot of video game inspiration from like the weapons and stuff.
Yeah. They're straight up saying S my D Jurassic Park.
Yeah. Yeah. I noticed he kept putting his hand out to the dinosaurs.
Yeah. Yeah. Strangely didn't work, but he did for a different reason. Like instead of like the Crocodile Dundee thing that whatever what he was doing, he's like, I'm actually Kylo Ren. I really am. I really am.
I see what's in your mind, and it's stupid.
Those are still like the best SNL sketches in the last six to ten years.
I've a far. I don't know. That lightsaber looks pretty dangerous. It's awesome. I thought that was pretty good.
The I see inside your mind. It is stupid.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very good. So anyway, yeah, that does look cool too. I'd like to see that.
Yeah.
But anyhow, video games.
Right? Yes, sir.
Now listen, I'm just going to tell you flat out, I have been swamped with work. Mm-hmm. And so like today, as a matter of fact, I just did enough dailies to keep my streak going on Red Dead, and I've not played. I've been trying to get Henry to stream Skywalker Saga with me, and he's not been. I've barely played Fortnite with Stella. I did do pretty good on a couple of rounds, but no dubs for me, man. Yeah. And I'm sick of the overpowered weapons in Fortnite. It's especially the Kamehameha. And I'm just like, you get these people who are obviously super slick at it. And for me, I have this weird thing where I won't use those weapons just out of protest.
Yeah, it's like Hall's not building in building mode. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like they've got the Kamehameha, they've got the other smash. One. Yeah. And then they've got like the cloud you can ride around on.
Uh huh. And the hammer.
Yeah. And that's their whole loadout. And you're helpless against it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm tired of that. But one thing I do want to say is Henry's been back on this Minecraft kick, and he wanted to buy this this pack, like a world, but it comes with a bunch of skins. And then he bought some other skins, and it was the Star Wars, like the official Minecraft Star Wars world.
Nice.
Look, it's quite good if you like Minecraft. However, when he wants me to play with him and I'm on my Xbox and he's on the one upstairs, I dozed off on him a couple of times. And by a couple, I mean several. Yeah. It's very boring to me. Because we play in creative.
Yeah.
Because he just wants to go around and build stuff. But he pulled a strut on me. And where he casually, it's just like whenever we're at the end of Obsession in Red Dead and he quietly leaves my posse so that because we have it in our posse, we have it set to where friendly fire is off. You can't hurt each other, right? He'll just leave the posse. And then that when he comes, he can shoot me all he wants. That's what Henry does. Real cool. Just switches it to
survival.
Because then suddenly I notice all the hearts above my thing. I'm like, what's going on? Yeah. And here he comes.
I can't fly with the lightsaber.
I'm like, you butthole. Yeah. But anyhow, that's what I've been up to. What about you, man?
Yeah, I have the same problem with Minecraft, except I like to do the creative mode. But max, after about 20 minutes, I was like, so you want to go like build this and then like turn to survival? I'm like, and then do what? Because I don't get it. He's like, well, you just survive. I'm like, yeah, but like I don't. But like, what's the objective? It's just not. It's just to keep going, like just forever. Just keep going. I don't like. There's no end goal. There's no ultimate boss. Well, there's bosses. You just got to build up your character first. Like, oh, okay. Well, I don't get it. And I don't think I think I'm well past the age that I will get it, because that game's been out forever. And like I enjoy the Lego process of it, you know, right? Like mm-hmm. building stuff, like building little things, that's fun. But then I'm over it about 30 minutes at most. And my son loves it, but Eric, that kid's like over level 160 now in Fortnite.
Oh my gosh, man. Yeah. I just sent you a text. Henry wanted to play Minecraft in a we did a build challenge because he watches videos all the time. So he constructs this wall and we each build a thing on either side of it. And that's just exactly what you think it is. It's a giant toilet.
That's awesome.
He's like, okay, let's build a giant toilet. And so I built what I would consider a pretty reasonable scale toilet in there. And he made one too, but it had like poop coming out of it and all that stuff.
Oh yeah, for sure.
But yeah, dude, I mean, that
looks pretty, like, you know, the proportions are pretty good too.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd poop in it.
Oh yeah, for sure. It looks comfortable.
The tank isn't tall enough, but you know, it's like, there's no copy and paste in Minecraft. My God, that would be a lifesaver.
I think there is in on PC.
Oh yeah. I could see that being,
there's like extra sneaky controls on PC. Like there's been a couple times where Max like, oh, I just want to get a computer. I'm like, excuse me? Like, I'm like, for what? He's like, because it's, you know, the games are better. I'm like, well, it's the same games. Like, no, but you can do more stuff. I'm like, what are you even watching?
Yeah.
Because I actually recently, And he's taking it pretty well. The kids in general, like it's amazing. Once you just kind of do something and just make them sit with it for a couple of days, they eventually move on. But I ended up blocking, deleting and blocking all the YouTube apps on the TVs because it was getting out of control. Where like they would get mad at us when we wouldn't let them watch them.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, well, I think what that tells me is you need to just either don't watch TV at all, watch the 3 streaming services we allow you to use, or you just, go outside and play.
Yeah, dude. Oh, my God. Stella's saying, oh, wait, hang on. First, let me go to YouTube with Henry. It's like he watches these streamers, and he watches this one guy, Beck Bro Jack, and listen, the guy's good at what he does, but you're right. I mean, he's been playing Minecraft for 20 years and has to act like he's still just mesmerized by it.
But really, he's dead inside.
Yeah, but he's a millionaire.
Yeah, so he likes being dead inside.
Yeah, he lives in this place, and his brother and his buddy live with him, I guess. And they will be playing Minecraft together. And their friend, he yells, all the time. And it's like distorted in the mic. And I was like, turn this off. I cannot listen to this anymore. And then they, it's pretty kid friendly. But then they were doing this thing where they're doing reactions. Now that's the thing. They're so tired of Minecraft. They start doing reactions to other people's YouTube videos. And that's their YouTube video. I'm like, wow.
That's a very popular thing.
Yeah. I'm like, that's one way to do it, I guess.
I want to say something really quick before I forget about it. It's about the online aspects with young children. And I don't mean YouTube. Fortnite, for instance, right? I have Max's profile set up to where people have to request things. Or nobody can send him a friend request.
Mm-hmm.
But he can still send them out, I guess. And nobody can join his thing. They have to request it.
Uh-huh.
So I caught him in a pretty big lie the other day. He was in, because I don't want him playing with other people that I don't know. I mean, I think it's pretty all right thing. So I'm like, that's why you play with me. He's like, can we play with Eric? I'm like, dude, join the club wanting to play games with Eric. Eric's busy. And I'm like, one and two, does that mean you don't like playing with me? He's like, no, I'd be nice to have other people and whatever. I'm like, okay, whatever. He's like basically saying, Dad, I'm sick of you, what he's telling me. And but he cannot talk to any of them. All the communication is completely turned off.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not quite savvy enough with the menus, I don't think, yet to really find out and really want to talk to people. It kind of weirds him out.
Mm-hmm.
But he's rolling with the same guy. And I'm like, look, the only person on his friends list is me. And then I see a person in his lobby and I said, so did you join their lobby? He goes, no, I we were in the same game on one of the extra modes and I backed out and he was in here. And I was like, oh yeah? He's like, yeah. I'm like, okay, well, that's not how that works. And he's like, what do you mean? I'm like, well, he can't be in here unless he requests to be in here. So either you requested, you sent him an invite to come in here and a friend request for him at the work, or you're lying. One way or another, you're telling a lie. It took him about 2 or 3 minutes. And he finally, after straight face lying to me several times, admitted that he did it. And I was like, you do know why I don't want you doing this, right? Like, I think I've explained it to you before, but let me explain it to you one more time. I'm like, the reason why I said I was hesitant about letting you play at this age because of things like this, you're not listening to me properly. I said, 2, there are people in this world who are not nice and they will do things to people either online or otherwise or find out information about them via these things. And I'm just going to tell you this. This is the second time this has happened. I say, I understand wanting to play with other people and I get it. But if you remember, I didn't want you to play these games until you were at least 10. I told you this. He goes, yeah, I know. And I said, well, I'm going to be completely honest with you right now. And I mean this. If I have to have this conversation again, you will not play these games I'll turn the Wi-Fi off completely, change the password or whatever. You won't be able to access any of it because it's for your safety. That's what I'll do.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't get mad at me. He understood the situation. He ultimately what he heard was, okay, I can still keep playing as long as I follow your rules, you know. But I think he kind of understood a little bit better as to why it was important that he didn't play people I didn't know. And those are hard conversations to have with young children in this day and age, because it's not a problem we ever had when we were younger. You know what I mean? And it was just dealing with the regular dickheads on the street.
Yeah.
But your mom knew their mom. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know?
So, yeah, dude. It's...
yeah. There's all kinds of creepy fuckers out there, man, playing these games and doing whatever. And I don't need... And I said, Max, maybe that was another little kid just like you, just wanted to have a buddy. And maybe that's all it was, but I have no way of knowing that.
Right. And that's just the problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah. So anyways, it's interesting, those things. And you know, I'm glad that Henry, like because Stella plays with her friends, right? Sometimes.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But is that like a pretty like curated list of people, I imagine?
Yeah. I mean, for one, she doesn't like it when people she doesn't know.
Yeah,
you know, hit her up. But one thing that's nice is she does that on Roblox. You know, well, on Roblox, because her account got hacked one time.
Yeah.
And because the way they do it is all username based and there's no way to recover it.
Nice.
Until you message in, and I have it tied to my email address now. Yeah. So I can get into her Roblox account and see what she's been up to. She's a good kid. She's up to nothing. But,
yeah,
you know, it's cool. She spends most of the time, actually, she and her friends from school will be playing Roblox together, but using Facebook Messenger audio chat.
Yeah.
To talk, which that's cool, man.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah.
But I just need her to not do it so much, because her new thing now is being in a room and like under a blanket, but completely over her head.
Yeah.
I'm like, get the hell out of here. Go get some sun. You look like you're a vampire. I can see through you. You know, jeez, yeah. I told her mom, I said, when I walked in her room, I said, she's hanging upside down by her feet like a bat. Yeah, but anyhow.
That's good stuff.
Well, listen, on that happy note, you know, you probably are thinking, I can't get enough of this. I need some more of it. Well, here's what you can do. You can go to patreon.com/thebadmotivators and you better get on it. If you want Patreon to still be a thing, you better get on it. And, you know, you could go check out our merch on TeePublic and Redbubble. Well, people have picked up the random shirt here and there. That's been kind of neat.
Yeah.
And you can follow the show on Twitter @bad_motivators. You can check out Cruiser streaming to Twitch or on Twitch, and me doing the same here and there. And, yeah, all that's right there in the show description. You can listen to me on the Sith List if you want this same show, but with better production quality, thanks to Raj and all his hard work. You can listen to my family's Bluey podcast, Dinner with the Healers. People from Australia, I need you to bump us back up. We're still in the top 10 for animation podcasts, but we need to be in the top 3.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, man.
Or else.
That's right. Or else I'll keep making the episodes and just continue to bitch about it.
Yeah, I'm pissing, Mo.
Yeah.
Taking up the tailpipe.
You just wait. But, anyway, guys, there's nothing left to say except this. Sweet man. Well, hey, I think Taylor Swift is awesome. And until next week, we are out of here.
Goodbye.
The Bad Motivators.